Greetings, and welcome to Mindful Aviator Audio. Today's talk subject is, Will Mindfulness Make Me Lose My Edge? Comedian Stephen Wright has a great line. Ever lean back in a chair and suddenly realize you've gone too far? I feel like that all the time. For me, 12 years ago, this wasn't far from the truth, but I was clueless about what that feeling of persistent tension meant. I also believed that my edginess made me a better pilot. In the fall of 2007, I narrowly missed being in a car crash. After pulling off the road to collect myself, I noticed something odd. In spite of the close call, I didn't feel much different than I did most days. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, but even I knew there was something wrong with that. When I talked to my doctor about it, I was so afraid of a psychiatric diagnosis that I remember hoping I had a brain tumor or a heart condition that would explain my experience. The diagnosis was depression and generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD, and I wound up out on medical disability for a year. In the fall of 2008, after 9 months of cognitive therapy and getting off the antidepressants, modern medicine was done with me, and I was pronounced cured. But I still had some anxiety, and now that I understood what it was, I wanted to be completely rid of it. Since I was preparing to go back to flying, medical options were off the table, and it became clear to me that any further reductions in my stress would be of the self-help variety. So I began doing research, reading books, scientific studies, and cutting through all the miracle cure nonsense on the internet. In spite of my aversion to touchy-feely stuff, I chose mindfulness meditation, and after 30 days of practice, my anxiety level was nearly zero. I was impressed and relieved. I resumed my airline career in January of 2009 and remained a closet meditator for many years, right up until the Germanwings tragedy. In March of 2015, First Officer Andre Lubitz killed himself and everyone on board an A320 by locking the captain out of the cockpit and crashing intentionally into the French Alps. At that point, I realized, if we, in the airline community, can't have meaningful dialogue about pilot mental health, things will never change, and this could happen again. And if I myself, an Airbus captain with experience beating anxiety and depression, couldn't talk about it, then I was part of the problem. I decided to tell my story, become a poster child if that's what it took, and offer whatever help I could. Unfortunately, few in the industry were interested in what I had to say. From the cultural perspective in the airline industry and public perception, pilots are supposed to be superhuman. Even the head of the FAA's aeromedical branch recently claimed that pilots simply don't suffer from mental health issues like the general population, which is kind of true, but in the wrong direction. They often suffer more. I approached company and union leadership who had zero interest in listening to what they considered touchy-feely nonsense from an admitted psychological weakling like myself. So, I became a meditation teacher for those aviators who would listen. And to my delight, the pilots themselves were willing to listen. But pilots are understandably skeptical, including this one, and misconceptions about mindfulness meditation abound. Nearly every pilot asked me the same question I asked myself all those years ago. Will mindfulness make me lose my edge? The short answer I give them is, no, it'll make you a better pilot. The long answer actually raises another question. What exactly is this edge they're so afraid of losing? It's as if pilots themselves believe they have some kind of superpower and meditation is kryptonite. As pilots, are we all holding ourselves to some vague standard of human superiority? Does that mean if I'm experiencing anxiety or stress, I'm failing to live up to my own standard? Don't get me wrong, we pilots are an exceptional collection of highly skilled professionals, and I'm honored to count myself among one of this elite group. But we're also human. And I don't care what you do for a living, every one of us has a psychological tipping point. I decided to explore this edge that pilots are so concerned about losing. Suppose my edge is the belief that I am, in fact, superhuman. In that case, I'm fooling myself, and I'll suffer along with those who have to put up with my overinflated and unrealistic ego. If my belief is that I should be superhuman, and I'm failing to maintain that standard, then I've let myself down, and I'll suffer. In both cases, I'm suffering because I believe something that's unrealistic and simply isn't true. I'm also fueling the myth, the same cultural narrative that obstructs meaningful dialogue about crew member mental health. I began to wonder, is it possible this whole edge thing is contributing to crew member anxiety? What if our edge is a sword that cuts both ways? Before I started practicing mindfulness, my edge could be summed up with one word, hypervigilance. After decades of conditioning, hypervigilance had become my default state of being. During my year off, it was explained to me that there's a psychological term for this. It's called generalized anxiety disorder. I guess my edge wasn't really a superpower after all. At times, hypervigilance in aviation is a necessary tool. But it shouldn't be a psychological default mode or a way of motivating yourself on a daily basis. As pilots, our primary job is the safe transportation of people and cargo through a variety of potentially dangerous situations. Some degree of vigilance is appropriate. I picture an ancient tribal chief leading his clan through a jungle filled with predators. Humans must rely on past experience while trying to create a safe and certain future. But the future is never certain. We motivate ourselves by understanding the threats, visualizing countless negative outcomes, and planning a safe path through any possible danger. We know that complacency can kill us, but we've been given a task that's done largely on autopilot. And not just the automation in the aircraft, but the psychophysical autopilot of our human experience. One aspect of that autopilot mode of human experience is our inner dialogue. And out of necessity, that inner voice is often evaluative, critical, and negative. It's constantly reminding us about the possible tigers in the forest or the deteriorating weather at our destination. And that's a good thing. We understand the need to be vigilant, to keep ourselves in a state of readiness, and many of us view this internal process as our edge. Unfortunately, our job can also be boring and tedious. One method of remaining vigilant is to put pressure on ourselves, to motivate and energize ourselves through that inner dialogue. In effect, we tell ourselves scary stories about the future to keep us ready to take action in the present moment, and we tense up. Our fight or flight systems kick in. Tension in our body triggers more negative stories in our mind. Negative stories in our mind triggers more tension in our body, and we can get stuck in a hypervigilant feedback loop. If our edge is a habitual autopilot behavior based on self-induced fear about a future event that probably won't happen, is that a good thing? There's a technical word for this process, too. It's called worry. An obsessive worry reduces situational awareness because it hijacks our prefrontal cortex, or PFC, and tends to monopolize our working memory, leaving us with less, not more, mental capacity when the manure actually does hit the N1. To worry is to give way to anxiety or unease, to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or trouble. Discernment, on the other hand, is the ability to use good judgment. Discernment doesn't require anxiety, unease, or rumination, and unlike worry and hypervigilance, it doesn't monopolize our ability to think under pressure. As I navigate the challenges of my world now, mindfulness practice has given me a default mode based in discernment, not worry or hypervigilance. Different pilots feel their edge comes from different things, like their critical inner dialogue, the drill sergeant between their ears that keeps them in line. They worry that mindfulness and meditation will cause them to go soft, to become complacent or lazy. After all, if I'm not beating myself up, I'll never get anything done. We all have an inner critic. Imagine yours at its worst. Now, imagine the pilot sitting next to you narrating that rant of inner dialogue for you. Would you put up with it? If the voice in your head is a jerk, why are you putting up with it? The problem is, if you motivate yourself with that relentlessly negative inner voice, you don't just put up with it. You believe it because you think it's helpful. If your edge comes from this brutal inner dialogue, understand, that knife cuts both ways. It might motivate you now, but it will undermine you later. Mindfulness practice gives us the ability to observe our inner dialogue without getting carried away by it or believing it on autopilot. We develop discernment in relationship to our own thinking. And with that shift comes the wisdom to choose which thoughts are valuable and which thoughts to ignore, which is yet another way to free up mental resources in a potential emergency. Other pilots may believe their edge comes from being tough, outwardly and inwardly, having that astronaut persona, the swagger of total confidence and an emotionless poker face. Poker face, hiding our feelings and emotions from others, is often necessary, and I would never suggest an aviator show all their emotions. But poker mind, hiding our feelings and emotions from ourselves, is another thing altogether. When I talk to pilots about the E and F words, emotions and feelings, I ask them a simple question. Would you fly a jet without caution and warning systems? Human emotions are part of our caution and warning system, and while they can be a source of difficult experiences, they're also responsible for the most rewarding ones. Developing poker mind strategies to avoid our unpleasant emotions works about as well as turning up the car stereo so you don't have to listen to that screaming wheel bearing. In a jet, we all know the drill when we get a caution and warning. Identify the problem, silence the bell, and move through the checklist. Emotions occur at the intersection of our bodily sensations and our thinking mind, and the word has its roots in Latin. E means out, and emotion means to move through or move out. It doesn't mean ignore or tune out. Science shows us that one part of the brain, the amygdala, sends the caution and warning, while another part of the brain, the PFC, identifies the problem and silences the bell. Then we can move through the steps needed to deal with the emergency. If the PFC misidentifies the problem, or we're poker-minding it into a mental dungeon somewhere, the caution and warning system keeps activating. The more we ignore the emotions, the stronger the warning signal gets. Over time, this can cause anxiety, depression, and a host of other symptoms, all related to our strategy of being inwardly tough. At the same time, this inappropriate strategy does the same thing the other ones do, monopolize and override your ability to think clearly in an emergency. If a pilot believes that ignoring emotions is what gives them an edge, they're seriously misguided and they will suffer. Researchers at Harvard using MRI technology demonstrated that after only 8 weeks of mindfulness and meditation practice, the region of the PFC responsible for emotional regulation physically grows, while the amygdala shrinks. Meditation changes our physical brain structure and rewires it to regulate cautions and warnings more effectively, thereby freeing up mental resources. We may think that things like mindfulness will leave us vulnerable and weak, but it turns out improved emotional regulation is the real superpower. And that's one reason they teach it to Marine Special Forces, Formula One driving teams, elite athletes, and many others. So, what is mindfulness, and what is meditation, and how can they help a crew member? Meditation is something we do. It's mental exercise like lifting weights. Simply put, It's the practice of getting out of our distracted mind and being aware of our present moment situation. In my 30-plus year airline career, no one ever explained that SA itself is a skill you can improve by going to the gym of awareness exercise. Meditation does reduce stress, but it's not about relaxed bliss or zoning out. It's about paying attention. Mindfulness, on the other hand, is the quality of our awareness. Mindful awareness has a more relaxed, open, and inclusive quality than an awareness that's hypervigilant, distracted, or ruminating. In describing how mindfulness and meditation work together, I like to use the analogy of instrument flying. When flying on instruments, it's important to pay attention to what your instruments are telling you in the present moment. What they read yesterday or what they'll read tomorrow isn't very useful. Meditation involves paying attention to our bodily instruments, the senses of our body, right here, right now. In other words, meditation is situational awareness of your human ship. When we first learn to fly on instruments, we fixate on the attitude indicator. During that first lesson under the hood, the quality of our awareness is contracted, like we're looking through a toilet paper tube. When we briefly check other instruments, we tend to jerk our awareness around, jumping from thing to thing, anxiously. There's a sense of urgency, and we're easily overwhelmed or destabilized. We make mistakes. Our untrained, reactive awareness has qualities of tunnel vision, urgency, preoccupation, and worry. The experience is stressful. On the other hand, the highly skilled aviator is undistracted and paying attention on purpose with a more relaxed, open, and inclusive awareness without the tunnel vision, like an athlete in the zone. Sitting in meditation practice is like an SA simulator or gym. Outside the gym, the skill or strength of mindful awareness then becomes available as you navigate the world. All of us experience moments of mindful awareness. When we run through our emergency procedures, shutting down an engine, for example, we stop for a moment, pause, and bring our awareness to the task. We make damn sure we're about to shut off the correct one. In that brief moment, we pay attention with intention to things as they actually are. That pause allows us to become situationally aware, mindfully aware. We do this because we know that running a checklist on mental autopilot can lead to mistakes. For those pilots who hold themselves to a superhuman standard, who believe their edge comes from being hypervigilant, who rely on a relentlessly negative inner dialogue to keep them sharp, and who stuff their emotions away in a dark corner of their mind, I can guarantee them a lot of suffering and reduced mental capacity in an emergency. However, if they're unwilling to question the value of these strategies, meditation may not help. For those pilots willing to try mindfulness for stress reduction, the sooner they start, the better. Unfortunately, too many aviators, myself included, tough it out until they're psychologically bleeding out on the roadside. And those crew members typically need some form of clinical help before the benefits of mindfulness and meditation become realistic. At that point, the person they contact needs to be a trustworthy, pilot-savvy mental health professional who understands the regulatory agencies that would otherwise ground them on the spot. In my country, the peer support model is failing because the point of contact for the desperate pilot is not a trained mental health professional. So, to conclude my long answer, will mindfulness make you lose your edge? Well, if you practice regularly, with good effort, over a period of time, it just may help you lose that old edge by giving you a new edge, one that works. An edge that gets sharper the longer you practice it, one that's backed up by scientific research and has countless positive side effects. If you feel you've reached the psychological tipping point, my recommendation for a confidential, airline pilot savvy, third-party mental health provider is an organization called Lift Effect. More often than not, they can keep you flying while you work through your challenging time, and if you need time off, they'll get you back flying faster than anyone else on the planet. They're that good. Their website is www.liftaffect.com. If you'd like to start right off with a free 10-part introduction to mindfulness meditation presented by airline pilots for airline pilots, check out our organization, Mindful Aviator, at www.mindfulaviator.com. Thank you so much for listening.